your shot at $1,000. Now, text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Live
from the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning to you, everyone. On a Monday morning, the sun is out. Spring is, well...
Nah, it's still chilly. It's still chilly. There was a touch of spring over the weekend. People were out and about in my neighborhood in the West Village, going to brunch and whatnot. And then it got a little chilly in the evening, so I have a fireplace, a working fireplace in my apartment, Len, and I had a fire, maybe, with any luck, the last fire of the winter season. Let us hope.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot going on. did you watch last night?
Yes, I did.
And?
The basketball game was far more exciting than the Stormy Daniels interview with Anderson Blooper on 60 Minutes.
Anderson Blooper? Wow, Anderson Blooper. Really coming off harsh.
Oh, wait, you know, I hate it when these news... Anderson, he tries to be all serious there with his serious glasses on, you know, and whatnot. And they tease it, and they want you to think, oh, my God, a big...
He wears glasses.
Something,
so
something
do you.
Revelatory
Oh, now
here.
I have to take you seriously because
yes,
you wear
I have
glasses?
My serious glasses on this morning.
Like, I wear glasses at
But they
work.
Plug it, and they promote it. They're, oh, my God, they're going to be something here we haven't heard before. This is going to be earth-shattering. The build-up. Remember the build-up? They were possibly at text messages and videotapes and a CD and whatnot. And then, well, he dropped his pants and I playfully smacked him with the magazine on which his face was on the cover. Oh, yeah, big deal, big deal.
Well,
and then they even bring in the campaign expert who says, well, this could be a problem because, you know, if the lawyer paid her off $130,000, that's a campaign contribution that way exceeds the limits. But if Trump reimbursed him, then it's not such a problem anymore. Not a lot there, Len.
Well, that leads our big three. And, of course, Michael Riedel was intrigued when Stormy Daniels talked about rolling up the magazine with Trump's picture on the cover and spanking him.
He turned around and pulled his pants down a little. You know, he had underwear on and stuff, and I just gave him a couple swats.
This was done in a joking manner.
Yes. And from that moment on, he was a completely different person.
Ooh, smack him around a little bit.
What Mike Wallace would think of this.
But now we have some insight into Trump. If you smack his behind a little bit, he's a completely different person. So maybe Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the next time they're over at the White House, might give him a little whack on the behind and he'll behave better.
Oh, there you go. That's what works with you here in the studio. Hey, I will tell you that I was curious with the interview because the attorney for Stormy Daniels, Michael Avenatti, tweeted out a threatening or appeared to be a threatening picture of a DVD. This would be the big evidence. Never came up.
Nope.
No mention of the evidence. Now, Avenatti's been making the rounds on the morning shows today. Here's what he said to ABC this morning about that.
Because it was a warning shot to Mr. Cohen and the president that they better be very careful about denying what happened. And what's interesting is we get a cease and desist letter. Where's the statement from the president, Mr. Cohen, claiming the affair didn't happen?
Well, they did get a cease and desist letter, and Cohen's people, Michael Cohen, the president's attorney, they're upset with the allegation that they were involved in threatening Stormy Daniels in Las Vegas when she was with her daughter.
Yes. So that Avenatti guy, you know, he's a Democrat. He was a Democratic Party hack there while. That came out, too.
So that
Anderson
means,
Blooper brushed over that.
But that means everything he says
is
false?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, he's coming at it with a political agenda.
You're a typical right-wing.
I believe Stormy Daniels. I am certain she had the one-night stand. It's not an affair, it turns out, a one-night stand with Trump. I believe her. But I also think it amounts to absolutely nothing. Trump supporters knew what they were getting when they voted for Trump. He was the most famous playboy in New York City. The guy's a rover, all right? Fine, get over it. So was Bill Clinton,
okay.
A rover.
Well, here's what Michael Avenatti told at the Today Show.
She has a lot of things to say. The interview that was conducted originally was about 2 hours in length. There were a number of details and facts that were left out of the final product because 60 Minutes only has so much time. Obviously, they're trying to tell a very broad story in a very finite period of time. She has many more details and facts, much more to say, and we're going to get to the bottom of what happened here relating to the agreement, what Mr. Trump knew, and where this money came from.
Maybe that's what's on the CD. Well, the bonus interview is on the CD that Avenatti was pointing at.
Back to Good Morning America, where Avenatti said they have more.
We have a litany of more evidence in this case, and it's going to be disclosed, and it's going to be laid bare for the American public, George.
Direct evidence from President Trump that would prove an affair?
Absolutely.
Aha!
Nobody thinks they didn't have it. It's not an affair. It turns out to be a one-night stand. Trump did invite her over to the Beverly Hills Hotel a little while later. They watched Shark Week.
Not Shark Tank. Shark Week. Oh, boy.
And she sat with him on the bed. He put his hand on her knee, and she said, "Up, gotta go," and that was it. The big news was that he didn't force himself on her. She said this is not part of the hashtag MeToo moment. It was consensual. She wasn't attracted to him. Okay, I believe that, certainly. But she did it anyway because she thought it would help her get on The Apprentice. Welcome
you were 27. He was 60. Were you physically attracted to him?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Did you want to have sex with him?
No. But I didn't say no. I'm not a victim. I'm not.
It was entirely consensual.
Oh, yes.
You should cut that so I say, I'm interviewing Melania Trump. Were you physically attracted to him? No. Did you want to have sex with him?
That's what I wonder.
No.
I wonder about Melania.
Did he mention his wife or child at all in this?
I asked, and he brushed it aside, said, "Oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about that. We have separate rooms and stuff."
We have separate rooms. That was glossed over.
We're joking around here, but I really do feel sorry for Melania Trump. She looks like she is utterly miserable in that marriage and in the White House.
How long is she going to stay with him?
I don't know. Interesting. I don't think we've ever had a divorce during the presidency, but she looks really unhappy, and she should be. You know, he cheated on her. I think he cheated on her.
I feel terrible for Melania. Plus, besides that she has to deal with herself, how she's shielding this from her son.
Barron, yeah.
That's what I think about most of the time, because he's old enough to be hearing things, knowing things. How do you possibly protect him from that?
I think she's gotten Barron and herself sort of out of the Trump orbit. She's not really around him much anymore.
But he goes to school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's got to be horrible.
Poor little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're new to our program, that is the voice of our executive producer, Natalie, who's been with WR how many years on the morning show?
Do I have to say?
You have to.
21.
21 years.
Not only with the morning show, I've bounced around the station.
Isn't it amazing, though, that people could be tuning in for the first time? Because, you know, we've got a brand new, this is the fourth week of our new show.
It's true.
And Natalie's been here 21 years. Where you been, folks? Miss Natalie. Anyway.
She's the voice of intelligence.
Exactly.
Reason.
Exactly.
Len and me, with both idiots here, yakking away. Natalie comes in and says, "You guys are being idiots. I got to bring you back
down
to earth."
She's the grown-up of the room. Yeah.
I'm the only woman in the room. Let's just say that.
Well, that makes you the only grown-up in the room. Also in the Big Three, the aftermath of the Saturday marches and Rick Santorum's idiotic comment that instead of marching for change, the kids should learn CPR. Well,
that's it.
That'll stop it.
CPR.
That's the way to solve the problem. And rounding out the Big Three this morning, Rhythm and Jews. Whose headline was that? Was that the Post? Rhythm and Jews, or the Daily News?
The Post has a headline, Rhythm and Jews, Governor Cuomo's tone-deaf joke bombs. He was at a church in Harlem, the old gov, whom I just can't bear him. And, you got a little cut of what he had to say up there at the church in Harlem.
I am a Catholic. Catholics basically believe the same teachings that Baptists believe. We just do it without the rhythm. But we try. We try. We are not as without rhythm as some of our Jewish brothers and sisters. I was just watching Mr. Chankov here in the front row moving to the music. It was ugly. It was ugly, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, he sure.
Jews can't dance.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Shankoff. He's the one with a beanie there in the front row.
Oh, he didn't say that.
Oh, well, that's practically what it sounds like to me. And Mr. Shankoff did not find the joke all that funny, I believe.
The beanie and the payas. Also, coming up at 8:30, we've got a four-pack of Mets tickets for you. But The students, well, you're a big fan of Mr. Hogue, are you?
The no. only way you can do that is by getting out and voting. If not for me, for everybody else on this stage and every single American child out there, vote for us, vote for our future, and help us fight for our lives.
Well, that's the sensible cut, but play it when he gets a little overheated.
When politicians send their thoughts and prayers with no action, we say no more. And to those politicians supported by the NRA that allow the continued slaughter of our children and our future, I say get your resumes ready.
Sounds like he's auditioning for the Yale School of Drama.
He's another student, Alex from Parkland.
To all the politicians out there, if you take money from the NRA, you have chosen death. If you have not expressed to your constituents a public stance on this issue, you have chosen death. If you do not stand with us by saying we need to pass common sense gun legislation, you have chosen death. And none of the millions of people marching in this country today will stop until they see those against us out of office, because we choose life.
Calm down, kid. Calm down.
Pretty good statement. It's pretty
soft. Overheated.
These are kids, Michael.
Overheated.
What are you adults doing?
Some of them
are
just
kids.
Some of them. Well, we're going to teach them CPR. It'll be fine, Len.
Give them rocks to throw in the classroom.
We're going to give them rocks, and we're going to teach them CPR, and that'll end the rash of gun shootings.
And Emma Gonzalez, you know her. She's the one with the shaved head. And,
she was good.
And what was most dramatic was she paused for total silence for 6 minutes and change, which is the amount of time the killer took in Parkland.
Since the time that I came out here, it has been 6 minutes and 20 seconds. The shooter has ceased shooting and will soon abandon his rifle, blend in with the students as they escape, and walk free for an hour before arrest. Fight for your lives before it's someone else's job.
By the way, quickly, Michael, Fox News poll, 91% want universal checks, 84% mental health checks, 72% say raise the age to 21, 60% say ban assault weapons, 57% oppose having teachers carry guns.
Well, it's going in. It's going that's against the NRA.
That's a Fox poll. Hey, President Trump says many lawyers want to represent him just before two attorneys backed out. Plus, your chance at $1,000 coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. Right now, Bernie Vider with traffic.
Live from New York City,
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And a very good Monday morning to you at 8:25. Good morning to you, Len.
Morning to you, Michael Riedel. How are you? A little spring in the air, a little bit.
Just a touch, but it's going to be cold, unfortunately. I looked at the extended weather forecast, as we call it.
Thursday, low 60s.
Yeah, but then
that's
I
not
see,
cold.
Yeah, but I see 50s. I see a lot of 40s out there. So maybe it'll hit for opening day at Citi Field. Maybe it'll hit 60. Len and I will be there celebrating, cheering, rooting for the Mets. My first time.
My first time
at Citi Field. I'm very excited.
No, it is. It's a great ballpark. You're going to enjoy it. The view from the broadcast booth is absolutely spectacular.
I know, but I want to be on the field. I want to go on the pitcher's mound.
You're not going on the pitcher's mound. That'll never happen.
I'm never going to be allowed on the pitcher's mound.
If the timing is right, we'll let you get on the field and maybe say hello to the manager, if it all times out for what we're doing.
And I will be in the dugout?
You may. Oh, I'll get you in a dugout. The dugout.
He's going to go to the dugout?
Natalie's
Wait, wait, wait. Hold on a second. I heard you're coming with us this year, Natalie.
I am.
Oh, you are coming?
You're going to be. Yes. Have you ever been to Citi Field?
No.
Okay, so you're going to be in a dugout.
It's going to be exciting.
And it's going to hit 60 degrees. I feel it.
60 degrees.
It's going to be fun.
You know what? Let's take a group picture on the field.
Oh man, I would love that.
Can we take it on the pitcher's mound?
No. You can't go on
why
the
pitcher's mound. Why can't you go on the pitcher's mound?
You mess it
up. You can't walk out between the lines.
What are they going to do if I walk out on the pitcher's mound?
You don't want to know.
There's a big thing that says Michael Riedel and Len Berman in the morning signs all over the place. Can I go out and bask in the...
I'm going to have to put one of those like...
It's called Between the Lines.
Those leashes on you that they put on kids in amusement parks.
I'm going to ask Thor if I can go out.
No, you're not
going
to talk to Thor.
I am going to ask him.
Thursday.
Oh, Len, if I'm going to the pitcher's mound.
We have to second thing bringing him.
I agree with you. I was just thinking of it. Natalie, maybe we won't bring him.
It's going to be fun.
He's going to just miss the car as we're driving
have to go
away.
Bail him out. That's going to cut into my nap time.
Speaking of the Mets, 4 minutes, just shy of 4 minutes from now, Mets, it's your chance to win a four-pack for the Mets. So coming up at 8:30. Hey, we were just talking about Melania Trump in the wake of the Stormy Daniels interview with Anderson Blooper on 60 Minutes.
And the Karen McDougal interview last week.
McDougal. Yep. I got to say, I really feel sorry for Melania. Apparently, she's not hanging around the president too much these days. She and Barron are, they went with the president to Palm Beach over the weekend here, but then they sort of like went off somewhere else for spring break. And, you know, when you see her on television, Len, she and the president, not a lot of arms around each other. Remember Barack and Michelle used to always hold hands when they went out to the plane
hated
and
that.
The helicopter. No, it,
you, probably,
do,
you were probably one of those Republicans.
No,
that, oh,
no,
they're
no, no,
phony.
No, 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 no,
they're just doing
they're,
that for the
no,
camera.
No, no, that is a cheap.
You,
that
could,
is
you
a cheap,
conservatives didn't like anything.
Cheap,
you didn't like
cheap,
anything he did.
That is a cheap shot. I never for once believed the love and the warmth between Barack and Michelle was anything but genuine, and I have no
really?
Problem with it.
Isn't that generous
no,
of
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Listen, I remember, I'm a kid of the Reagan years, you know. You probably hated Nancy and hated Ronnie, but that was a real love affair,
too. They were a nice couple.
Too.
I thought that was
they
a love
adorable.
Affair. They were
adorable. They were. Adorable.
He was more adorable than her. I had a feeling that she wasn't as adorable as him. But that's
she was,
feeling.
Well, she was pretty tough.
She was,
she was the one firing people in the,
yeah,
in the White
cookie.
House there.
But
you
he
know,
seemed like a good guy.
I must say, one of the most moving things I have ever seen, I watched the Reagan funeral, and remember when Nancy went up to the casket by herself,
yeah.
She just put her hand, she put it her was. Hand on the casket.
Oh, that was so hard to watch.
I mean, you could tell that that was a genuine love affair, as I think
absolutely.
Michelle and Barack, and also Bill and Hillary. I mean, that was real warmth there. They were genuine. They adored
remember
each other.
Remember that shot of them like dancing in the water in the Caribbean? Oh my God!
Oh, really, that was so uncomfortable.
I want to toss my cookies
you know,
on that one.
He would never look at any Ooh. Other wit woman because he's got her right there, and she just looked Ooh. Lovingly in his eyes. Ooh. That was such a wonderful thing there. Lynn,
it was. So. It was love at last sight. I don't know. Hey, how about the lawyer thing? Trump tweeted out over the weekend that many lawyers and top law firms want to represent me in the Russia case. Don't believe the fake news narrative, blah, blah, blah. So right after the tweet comes out, then the word comes out that Joseph DeGeneva, he's the Fox News guy,
yeah.
and his wife, Victoria Tensing, he had already announced that they were going to be part of the team. Uh-oh, they're out. And John Dowd was fired, so he was kicked out. So who is running this Russia legal team?
And does he have representation at all now? I'm not so sure.
Well, Ty Cobb's involved.
Still,
and,
but
and
yeah.
Sekulow, his main guy.
He's you know, probably, Trump is so old and old school, he's probably trying to hire F. Lee Bailey to
He says
help him.
The problem is a new lawyer or law firm will take months to get up to speed, if for no other reason, and they can bill more, which is unfair to our great country. I'm very happy with the existing team, and then it goes on once again. Besides, there was no collusion with Russia except by crooked Hillary and the Dems.
You know, he should try to hire Alan Dershowitz, because Alan Dershowitz, who's on the left,
yes.
Has been out there saying that this investigation should never
Correct.
Have been authorized.
Yeah, I'm surprised
that
he hasn't. Yeah.
That it shouldn't go on, and he's actually been a very vocal defender of Trump, so I wonder if Trump is going to reach out to Alan Dershowitz. The problem is that Dershowitz does not appear on Fox. So Trump has probably
oh,
never
does.
Seen him on. Oh, he does.
Oh, he comes on Fox. Yeah, and surprisingly so, he has been very supportive of Trump. Although some think that's because he has some kind of deal at Mar-a-Lago. So people are suspect of that. But anyway, but no, he's been very supportive from the left.
You lefty doubter.
Here you go. Now's your chance to win a. I'm just thinking of Bill and Hillary. What a loving couple. Yeah. Now's
Love
your
is
chance.
In the air.
Now your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mets take on the Cardinals this Saturday at Citi Field. Be caller number. Let's pick 11, 800-321-0710. Caller 11, you'll be the winner. Brought to you by the Mets and Coca-Cola. Opening weekend at Citi Field features a Mets Build-A-Bear Teddy giveaway to the first 15,000 fans in attendance for this Saturday's game and a tote bag giveaway to all fans Sunday. For tickets to opening weekend, go to Mets.com/tickets. Good luck, everyone. Caller 11.
And now let's get the headlines with Jeff McKinney.
And porn star Stormy Daniels says she had a one-night stand with President Trump back in 2006. She tells CBS's 60 Minutes she was helping to further her career with an appearance on The Apprentice.
You were 27, he was 60. Were you physically attracted to him?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Did you want to have sex with him?
No. But I didn't say no. I'm not a victim. I'm not.
It was entirely consensual.
Oh, yes.
And Daniel says afterwards she was threatened with someone approaching her and telling her to leave Trump alone and forget about the story.
Mike Pence.
It was not Pence. This is before she would have known who Mike Pence was. Besides, I don't think he would have been that forbidding a character.
Mike Pence?
I mean, yeah, he wouldn't instill a lot of fear.
Not going to be hanging around in some car park.
Hey. I can't imagine.
Lay off the big guy.
Pence and the porn star. There's a headline made in heaven for your newspaper.
And,
you know,
the line she... This is the one thing, though. I think most people believe that something happened. Because after all, we're talking about Donald Trump, who was, I think it was you said a little while ago, he was the great playboy.
And he works the most famous playboy. Of course, everybody knows
that. So everybody figures probably something happened. But, you know, the line that she quotes this... man who approached her in the parking lot. The line she quotes him saying is right out of Hollywood, though. That's a beautiful kid you got there. You wouldn't want anything to happen to her mother.
Yeah, that's true.
Steve Van Zandt from The Sopranos came up to her. Yeah. Sounds like one of those lines, you're right.
In the aftermath of the March for Our Lives rally, Senator Chuck Schumer wants to make sure the students' voices are heard, and he's calling for a vote on tougher gun control measures.
I am demanding that Leader McConnell put those bills on the floor of the Senate. And that Speaker Ryan put those bills on the floor of the House and let the American people speak.
And the plan includes tougher background checks and a ban on assault weapons. An investigation continues into a police-involved shooting on Staten Island with a bizarre lead-up to the gunfire. A woman was shot by cops in the shoulder during a traffic stop after refusing to drop a gun. She apparently is going to survive her wounds. But the story actually starts the night before, where she allegedly choked someone at a PTA meeting.
Nice.
Yes?
Yeah, no, I was just saying.
Nice. Well, those PTA meetings, who knew?
You know.
Who knew?
Things can get heated.
Well, we got to get to the bottom of what the relationship is with the ex-best friend. There's some
ex-bestie?
Jealousy.
I don't know.
Ex-bestie, and then ex-bestie's got new bestie is the one she choked.
Yeah, and then, well, there was a mother-in-law problem, too. She showed up at her mother-in-law's house. Isn't there always? And fired several shots.
No, it's not always.
And fired several shots into the home. I actually loved my mother-in-law, too.
Yeah.
And then broke into a former friend's house with a brick. I guess that's the former bestie, right?
Yeah, well, I think the problem is the cops fired five shots and hit her once in the shoulder. I'm saying,
well, they weren't shooting to kill. They
were worried about marksmanship, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about our finest there.
They weren't shooting to kill, so... All right, I got one more for us, Jeff.
I can do that. Things got awkward after Florida State lost to Michigan in the Elite Eight. You may have seen this interview. Florida State decided not to foul. They were down by 4 points with 11 seconds left in the game. So usually you foul at that point, right?
Yeah. Well, you would.
Try and take them to the line.
That's what I would make. That's what I would
I think, you know, with only 11 seconds.
Of course. You got to foul.
I mean, that's what the University of Kansas City would do all times.
Exactly.
CBS's Dana Jacobson asked Coach Leonard Hamilton why he didn't do that, why he didn't foul.
Coach, take me through the final seconds of this game. Why didn't you guys foul?
What are you talking about?
Down the stretch there, the end of the game, the final seconds, 11 seconds left down the clock.
Do you think that the game came down to the final seconds of the game?
I'm asking you, though, why that decision in the final seconds of the game?
The game was over.
I don't think you're supposed to say that, are you? That the game is over?
I support the reporter. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a fair question.
That was a fair question.
Absolutely a fair question.
Fair question.
Looks like it was blindsided by
her. She wasn't the only one wondering this, by the way.
Everybody watching was wondering this.
Was wondering why.
You know what? I'm only going to defend him in a way that was a very tough loss for him, and he was heated when the game was over. So that's why I'll give him a little bit of a pass. But there was nothing inappropriate about the question.
He was being disparaging of the reporter, though, by saying, you think it came down to less? And she's thinking, well, yeah, it did.
She nailed him. All right. Students rallied across the country on Saturday calling for tougher gun control laws. We'll talk to a junior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Viter with the traffic.
Welcome back, everyone, at 8:41 on a Monday. And we want to congratulate Glenn Held of Wantagh. Won the Mets tickets, a 4-pack to see the Mets and Cards this Saturday.
Right.
Tomorrow morning, 7:30 and 8:30, more Mets tickets. And, of course, on Thursday, it is opening day at Citi Field.
It is indeed, and it's going to be fun. Len and I will be there. We're announcing the roster of the players.
No, we're not doing anything. We'll do a little stuff on
WOR. Why are we going?
Well, we're going to be on a pregame show. We want you to get the feel of Citi Field, since you'll be talking about the Mets all season. We'll be in the booth with Howie and Josh point.
The best place for me to get the field is on the pitcher's mound on the field with Thor.
Will you stop with that? You're not going to meet Noah Syndergaard opening day because he's pitching. Now, when pitchers are scheduled to work in a game, they're in a zone. They don't talk to the riffraff of the media the day they pitch.
Well, I guess that's true, because a lot of the Broadway performers I know, you really don't hang out in their dressing rooms before the show.
Of course not.
But after the show.
Well, yeah. Well, if you're there when the game's over,
then
you can go meet Thor.
Oh, that's good, right? Yeah.
Stay for the whole game.
On Broadway, a lot of my friends, they have wet bars in the dressing room, and everyone congregates after the show and hangs out and has a couple of drinks.
No wonder you like Broadway
fun.
So much.
It's fun. Did they do that at the City of Field? Do the players have a wet bar in their dressing rooms?
Remember the Boston Red Sox back in the day were owned by a gentleman named Tom Yawkey?
Yeah.
And up in the press box, open bar after the game.
Oh, now you're
And those
talking.
Writers would drink away and then write great stuff about those. And the Red Sox were lousy in those days.
It was
They'd write better stuff, but it was an open bar.
It was the mark of a true newspaper man that you have to be able to write while you're a little smashed.
We'd like to welcome back to the program. She was with us last Friday and did an excellent job. A junior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. She's editor-in-chief at the Eagle Eye. That's the newspaper at Parkland, the high school in Parkland. She is Rebecca Schneid. Good morning, Rebecca. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. How are you?
Great. We just want to hear all about the march. What were your feelings? What was it like? What did it mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, the Eagle Eye, we were the first people on the scene, the first students on the scene.
Oh, Rebecca, are you with us?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Good. Go
Sorry.
Ahead. Okay,
ahead,
you
Rebecca.
Were saying that the Eagle Eye, you were the first students on the scene?
Yeah, we were the first people there, like the first students there. So we walked into the press area and then into the student area, and we just saw all of the people, you know, that were already there, like 8:30 in the morning, and there was already just hundreds and hundreds of people there. We just started, like, crying and hugging each other because it was just so emotional to see all of those people there supporting us. And then, you know, later in the day, they showed us a shot of just, like, the miles of people in Washington, D.C. that were marching. And, it was just amazing to see the amount of support that we had.
Hey, Rebecca, I understand you met kids from other schools, maybe not as privileged as your school, who have been faced with gun violence in their schools for a long time now. What did you make of that?
We met with kids from the Thurgood Marshall High School in D.C. and some other people from Chicago, and it really opened my eyes. I kind of knew this beforehand, but it opened my eyes to, you know, the gun violence that they have to deal with every day on their porches, in their streets, you know, like right outside their homes. And, you know, for years they've been screaming for legislation to help them in this area. But until people that, you know, were a bit more privileged, they've never had their voices heard. And, the people of color are disproportionately affected by gun violence. And so it's time for us, you know, I realize that it's time for us, you Parklanders, to utilize our platform and give it to them so that they can speak about their problems too. It was very, very, very moving and humbling.
I guess the question now, we're speaking with Rebecca Schneid, a junior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. I guess the question everyone wants to know is, what now? Now that you had the big march, does everyone go back to their lives and live happily ever after, or does the movement continue in some fashion?
Well, the movement is good. It's not going to end until we get what we want, really. And we haven't yet. We haven't really gotten much of anything. So, we can't live happily ever after. And knowing that people can still be dying from this every single day, knowing that this can still happen with the legislation that's put into place, both at the state level, the local level, and in the federal level. And I think that sometimes the right, you know, like certain people like to focus on the extremists in this movement, when there are areas that can be so easy to put in place. Universal background checks, raising the age to 21, those are things that we can get done now. Those are easy, like those are things that most people want. And so we're going to start with those kinds of things, I think. We're going to start, you know, lobbying for those, going to our congressmen. They're in recess right now, I think, for Congress. So we're, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to get people to go to their, you know, their congressman's local office and to talk to them about getting those things done. And then we're going to keep building up to maybe some harder things to get done, but we're going to keep on fighting for that.
Right.
And also, we're going to utilize our voting right.
Right. Let me ask you, Rebecca, when you say the harder things to get done, as you guys come of voting age, and if you keep this movement going, do you think you will take direct aim at repealing the Second Amendment one day?
Repealing? No, absolutely not. There is not one person in the movement that has said, really, that we want to take away anybody's guns. That is not what we want. Many of the people that are leading this, you know, a lot of our, like my friends, they have guns in their home. They want, you know, they rely on that for protection. So we understand the need for the Second Amendment. But just like the First Amendment, the Second Amendment has evolved. There are things, you know, our founding fathers didn't have, you know, AR-15s.
I totally agree with you.
And Glocks.
No, I totally agree. Michael Riedel over here is rolling his eyes. I agree with that. But before you run, Rebecca, I don't know if you heard about Rick Santorum, the former senator in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Oh, you heard of his comments? He said, well, these kids are marching and they want legislators to help them out. Why don't they help themselves and learn some CPR? Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts about those comments?
First of all, I don't think he understands the job of our legislator, if he says that. Two, I don't think that CPR can take a bullet out of somebody's chest. And three, I just think it's the most idiotic statement for anybody to make, let alone a former senator. And that actually makes me pretty, disillusioned to the intelligence of our legislator if he was once one of them.
Rebecca, you're terrific. I salute you, 16 years old. You have a great voice. Continued success if you stay with journalism or whatever you go on to do. But we're rooting for
you,
kid.
Len and I will write you a recommendation to Columbia Journalism School. How's that sound, Rebecca?
Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Take care.
I think she's a terrific young kid.
Absolutely.
Very articulate. Yep. And I salute her and her efforts. Hey, coming up right here with Len and Michael, Cynthia Nixon. You know, she might be taking shots at Governor Cuomo. She's also now taking shots at Sex and the City. Also, how do New Yorkers feel about Cuomo and his comments about the dancing skills of Jews? Who better to put on that case than Alice Stockton Rossiti? Can't wait to hear from her coming up next. And your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. Let's go to traffic and Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody, at 8:55, Monday morning, start of the week, and we are rolling with the big news stories out there, Len, and I think Trump has...
Well, the thing is, you know, he's never commented on Stormy
Daniels, no.
Now, this is as close as he's come. He's never... But he just tweeted, so much fake news, never been more voluminous or more inaccurate, but through it all, our country's doing great. So I'm guessing that's his response.
I wonder what he's referring to with the word voluminous.
Well,
Stormy Daniels.
You tell me.
There are a couple of voluminous things around Stormy Daniels. Hey, Cynthia Nixon, who I am delighted is challenging the thug gov of ours, Governor Cuomo. She's actually, this is interesting. You know, here in the city, film companies, TV companies, they get tax breaks to shoot movies and television shows here in New York. Now, Cynthia Nixon was on Sex and the City, and the Sex and the City movies, they got a lot of tax breaks, something like $3.6 million in tax credits for filming those Sex and the City movies here. But she is calling for an end to those tax breaks. And you know what? I agree with her. I think the movie companies would continue to film in New York because there is no substitute for New York in the movies than the town itself. They used to film movies up in Toronto, pretend they were New York by sticking a yellow cab there, but it never felt like New York. I think the entertainment business is getting too many tax breaks to use this great city of ours, and they should they should pay their fair share. So one more reason I'm for Cynthia Nixon.
Hey, how about the governor? Speaking of, she's running against Cuomo, and he had this comment about Jews.
I am a Catholic. Catholics basically believe the same teachings that Baptists believe. Yes. We just do it without the rhythm.
Oh, God.
But we try. We try. We are not as without rhythm as some of our Jewish brothers and sisters.
What? Jews can't dance? Who better to check that out than Alice?
No dancing in the shtetl, Mario.
Alice Stockton Rossiti at the JCC, 76th in Amsterdam. Hey, Alice, what have you found out?
Hey, man, people couldn't wait to answer that question. I had to explain it to them because a lot of them didn't know what I was talking about. But once I did, here's what I got.
Not very funny.
Right?
Not very funny at all. It's inappropriate. I mean, he's our governor. I think he should not be saying inappropriate, perhaps racist comments.
I have zero thoughts. I think it's a silly comment.
What do you think?
It's just a very insensitive comment, particularly to make during Holy Week, I would even say. Easter's coming up, so be a little bit more welcoming and a little less discriminatory. It's terrible for all of us. I'm Catholic. It's not well reflected on my religion or, you know, the world.
I don't know. I'm a lousy dancer, though, Alice, so I kind of sympathize.
Yeah, I did tell one woman you were making fun, and she said Len shouldn't make fun of such things. But she did have a theory.
I'm rushing to a meditation class.
A meditation class? You know what? You're like the third person rushing to that meditation class.
Contradiction in terms.
Yes, yes it is.
As someone of Jewish origin, it just makes no sense. It doesn't offend me in any way. I don't know. Maybe the communion wine helps.
What?
The communion wine loosens
communion wine.
It loosens you up so you can dance?
Will that make me a better dancer if I take communion wine as a Jewish dancer?
Yes. No, do you have to have Manischewitz?
You got to switch from Manischewitz to the wine that they offer at communion, and you'll be fine, Len.
So everyone was really taking this seriously. To me, I kind of laughed it off because I'm a lousy dancer.
Yeah, and I thought I might get a sense of humor, but it is Monday morning. It is Monday morning. People are very serious on a Monday morning.
And it is Holy Week. Not only is Friday Good Friday, but it's the first night of Passover, so I guess that's what the...
A well-timed joke there, Governor. Please. What an idiot. I love that woman, the contradiction in terms. I'm rushing to my meditation
class. I think you'd be a great dancer, Alice. That's my guess.
Oh, I bet Alice is a terrific dancer.
I'm just loud. I'm a little...
Thanks, Alice.
Alex, stay away from that communal wine there, Alice.
Shevitz isn't bad, though.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. There's a forecast for bad weather at the White House as the storm moves through. And can high school students pressure Washington to act on gun control? Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 9 o'clock news with Jeff McKinney.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And a good Monday morning to everybody. Len, Trump is getting tough with the Russians. We've got breaking news here that Trump has ordered the expulsion of 60 Russian diplomats over that poison attack in Britain. So all those people who said, oh, must be something there with Trump and the Russians because he's not getting tough on them, got to claw that back a little bit, well, don't you, now that he's getting rid of 60 Ruskies.
This was a coordinated effort, I believe, with several European countries. So yeah. I think you're going to see the same
France,
thing from several other countries as well as the U.S. Oh, by the way, Natalie, is that true? I hear we're getting a phone call from the Oval Office in a few minutes.
Let me talk to them. I got to finish this up. Yeah, in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Just give out our number to Sarah so she can give it to the Prez and he can give us a call at 9:10.
I can't believe it. The Oval Office has time for us this morning?
He's listening. Okay. He's listening, and they reached out to us, and the president is going
to
be calling.
He wants to talk? All right.
He's going to be calling in at 9:10.
Okay. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. No Stormy Daniels questions, though, Len.
Why not? Well, that's all we're going to ask him about.
No, Len, be polite. He's the leader of the free world. You're going to drag him down in the gutter and ask him about whether or not Stormy smacked him on his behind with the cover of Time magazine or whatever magazine he was on the cover of?
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Because I have no reason to lie, you know. I'm not getting paid to be here.
And you had sex with him?
Yes.
Oh, we'll see what the president has to say in a few minutes. I can't wait.
I hope he keeps his pants on. The big three, in addition to Stormy Daniels, we had a lot of high school students fanned out across the country yesterday at those rallies. Some very effective speeches, I thought. A couple of them a little overheated, and some of these kids... that kid Hogg there, he a little too much of the amateur dramatic society about him. He's really enjoying his time.
You don't like this guy?
When politicians send their thoughts and prayers with no action, we say no more. And to those politicians supported by the NRA that allow the continued slaughter of our children and our future, I say get your resumes ready.
What's wrong with that
kid? Looks like he's auditioning to be in a production of Rent, I think. He's very pleased with himself, and he's all over the television. He's enjoying the limelight just a little too much.
By the way, if you weren't with us a half an hour ago, we spoke with 16-year-old junior Rebecca Schneid. What an articulate young lady. She's the editor-in-chief of the newspaper at the high school in Parkland, Florida. If you didn't hear the interview, please go to our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We'll have it up for you shortly. And wow, she was terrific.
Very impressive. I'm going to support her. I'll write her a letter of recommendation if she wants to apply to a journalism school.
She is. She's actually in Boston today looking at schools.
So. Yeah. But, you know, the real test now is can the kids keep the pressure on the politicians to go after these assault rifles. And
they say they're going to do it, Michael. They
say that's what Rebecca said. She said it's not going to stop. And rounding out the big three, our idiot Governor Cuomo tried to make a joke yesterday at a church in Harlem by saying, well, you know, you Baptists can dance. You've got rhythm. But we Catholics, not so much. But the worst, the ones who can't dance, who have no rhythm, are, Len?
The Jews.
The Jews.
If he's ever seen me dance, he's absolutely 100% correct.
Arthur Murray, the great dance instructor, was Jewish.
Yes,
okay,
he was.
Paula Abdul is Jewish.
And
Sammy Davis Jr.
Sure, well, there. That proves it right there. Sammy Davis.
Those people can move, Len.
Yes, they can.
Those people can move. So, all right, guess what?
The call came through.
The call
Natalie,
came through.
Really? On the line now?
Say hello.
Unbelievable.
President Trump, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Len and Michael. My favorite show next to Fox and Friends, believe me. No, seriously, I listen to you on that iHeart Radio thingy, and you guys talk to me more in the morning than my wife. That I can tell you.
All right, let's dive right in, Mr. President. Did you catch Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes last night? If so, what did you think?
Yeah, I watched it. You know, frankly, it was so boring. So boring. And I have no idea why she even agreed to sit down and be interviewed by Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, Ellen doesn't even work on 60 Minutes. Made no sense to me.
No. That was Anderson Cooper, sir.
Oh. Well, that makes sense. I was wondering why he didn't dance in the studio before he sat down. Guess I should have known that. What a huge waste of time that was. And then Stormy walks out wearing that big, frumpy red blouse, showing absolutely no cleavage at all. Tremendous rip-off. So horrible.
Yeah, you wanted more, huh? Hey, we didn't think you'd like it, but I have to say, Stormy Daniels' lawyer has really had it out for you, sir, this Michael Avenatti. What do you make of this guy?
I hate that guy so much, Len. He's ruthless. He's incredibly conniving. And I will say, he's a huge loser. And he's absolutely fantastic, and I need to hire him immediately to get me out of this Russia investigation.
I bet you do.
Well, Mr. President, we have heard that you're looking for some new lawyers.
Well, not that I'm desperate or anything, Michael. I just want to keep my options open. You know who I was thinking of going with is Celino and Barnes.
Really?
They'd be perfect. Oh, yeah, they'd be perfect. Sing it with me. Celino and Barnes. 888-888-888-888.
Celino and Barnes, injury attorneys, 800-888-888.
Don't wait, call 8. I think, I was counting your 8s, Mr. President. I think you had too many. But I think you'll agree.
Right.
I think you're going to agree not too many new revelations came out of the interview with Stormy last night.
Look, I will say this about Stormy, and then we can move on. Even though she looks like she hit the wall really hard, probably like 6 years ago.
Oh. Ouch.
I think Stormy is very, very desirable to some people, allegedly. I don't know if you knew this, but while they were taping, someone said that Charlie Rose snuck back in the studio, watched the entire interview in an open bathrobe. What a liberal creep. I mean, you'll agree with me, won't you? He really is.
Let me change the subject here, Mr. President. Your legal team has been dealing with some challenges of late. John Dowd, your lead Russia lawyer, he left last week.
Yeah, John resigned because there was no Russian collusion. And that's his specialty, you know, the Russian collusion. He wants to work with someone who has Russian collusion. I don't. I wish him the best. There's no Russian collusion.
Well, on to more staff changes, sir. You now have John Bolton as your national security advisor, replacing H.R. McMaster. Do you think Bolton's the right fit for you?
Okay, look, I know what you're thinking, Len. Can the guy who sings When a Man Loves a Woman better than the original be qualified to be national security advisor? I say yes, bigly qualified.
Well, wait a second.
But don't you mean John Bolton, sir, not Michael Bolton?
You may be right about that. I'll have to check. But there's no confusing John's ability to grow a fantastic mustache. Fantastic. No, really. He's won the Wilfred Brimley lookalike contest 10 years in a row. He beats Sam Elliott, the actor, every time. Look it up.
Hey, Mr. President, on a personal note, our thoughts go out to your son, Donald Jr. He's going through a very tough and public divorce. How's he doing?
Well, thank you for that. You know, and I am so proud of Donnie. He really is going through a lot. I really am proud. He's now a real Trump. You know, he's got the first divorce out of the way. I told him the second one is so much easier. Believe me, Donnie. Yep, the first divorce, it's kind of like a bar mitzvah for a Trump. It's the day you become a man. I can remember mine like it was yesterday.
Oh, boy.
All right, Mr. President, we got to let you get back to work running the free world. Thanks a lot for calling us this morning. We do appreciate it, Mr. President.
Later, Len and Michael.
He's, you know what?
That's how you become a man. Trump family, you get divorced.
I mean, I got to say, Trump, he's as cool as a cucumber. All this stuff going around, Stormy Daniels, lawyers leaving, Mueller closing in, and, you know, Trump seems to be taking it all in stride there, Lynn.
Savino and Barnes, injury attorneys, 800-888-8888.
Don't wait, call 8.
By the way, there's so much truth in humor. I mean, he would hire attorneys that he sees on television.
He would, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's how he's going to hire DeGeneva, but that one fell through.
Yeah, and yeah. Alan Dershowitz, I'm waiting for him to hire Alan Dershowitz because he sees Dershowitz out there all the time saying that this investigation should never have been authorized and should be stopped.
Well, and of course, the president wastes no time in every tweet saying no collusion. He did it again the other day in all capital letters. No collusion.
So
wouldn't it be something if
there were collusion?
Mueller turns up something. That would be, you have to admit, that would be a hoot.
It would be. We'll see. We will see. But I don't see anything there yet. It looks to me like Mueller is going for obstruction of justice. And I'm telling you, Len, if that's all he gets, obstruction of justice, but there is no collusion, it's going to be tough to pin it on Trump. And I think Trump supporters are going to go absolutely insane over that. We've got these investigators who have all this power to go wherever they want to in the investigation. And their goal, the reason they're being employed, is to dig up something. It may not have to do with what the original suspicion was, but it winds up being something else. If you send an investigator out on any politician, you're going to find something on them.
Well, and our friend there, the president, mentioned Michael Avenatti. Yeah. Actually, we mentioned him as well. Now, he's been making the rounds on the talk shows this morning because we were wondering, because he put out the tweet last week that showed a DVD, and we went, aha, it's there's going to be some evidence. But, you know, nothing came up in the interview last night on 60 Minutes. But on ABC this morning, he said,
we have a litany of more evidence in this case, and it's going to be disclosed, and it's going to be laid bare for the American public, George.
Direct evidence from President Trump that would prove an affair?
Absolutely.
Well, that was with George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America today.
Listen, I believe Stormy Daniels. I'm certain she had, it wasn't really an affair, though, it turns out. She said last night to old Anderson there on 60 Minutes that it was basically a one-night stand.
Right.
Met her at the golf tournament. They had dinner together. She made the crack about spanking him. That turned him on. He dropped his drawers. She hit him on the buttocks with a magazine, which he was on the cover of. And then they got together. They hooked up for that night.
But that was a one-time only.
One-time only.
He said the next time they got together, they just sat and watched Jaws Week or Shark Week.
Shark, yeah. That's it, yeah. Dun, dun.
Woo-hoo. So that's what they sat and did. That's what she said. So I believe her, right?
Sounds like Mueller's theme song as he's closing in on Trump.
That's what it is. Yeah, there you go. Look out! Run for your life!
Collusion! Take a bite out of it. All right. Friends, family, and colleagues are remembering a fallen firefighter. A wake is being held today for a firefighter killed on the movie set up in Harlem. We'll have that when we get back. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in with Bernie Vider on traffic.
Good morning.
On 710 WOR.
And good morning, everyone, on a Monday morning. It is 9:24 in the a.m. on 710 on the a.m. Good morning to you, Michael Riedel.
Good morning, Len. Good morning to you.
Sad times for FDNY.
Yeah.
The passing of Michael Davidson, killed in the line of duty last Friday early, that fire in Harlem at the movie set.
Yeah, it was at the famous old St. Nick's Jazz Club, I think they called it. Ed Norton was making a movie, Motherless in Brooklyn, I think the name of the movie is. And at night, around 11 o'clock, fire broke out in the basement of this brownstone, where it was the set of the movie. And the first firefighter in to try to put it out was 37-year-old Michael Davidson. And unfortunately, he was just overcome with the fumes and the flames, and he died.
He was a nozzle man, and a wake is taking place at the Thomas F. Dalton Funeral Home. This is in Floral Park today. It started yesterday, but it continues today from 2 to 4, and then from 7 to 9, and then, oh, won't this be emotional tomorrow? The funeral will be held at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Midtown at 10 o'clock, and just the thought of all the firefighters lined up, and oh, my God.
And he leaves behind four kids.
Four kids. We had said last Friday when we were doing the program that early news reports we got kept referring to four daughters.
Yeah.
Well, FDNY put out an official family photo. They included three of the four kids, but the second eldest child is a boy. So they had three girls and a boy. Seven-year-old Brooke, Joseph, six, Emily, three, and Amy, 1 year old. That's what Michael Davidson, just 37 years old. That's what he leaves behind, those four young kids. Just how tragic.
And his wife, now a widow, Eileen Davidson, and you can see her being escorted into the wake and pictures in the New York Post today. Oh, by the way, you know, you can help FDNY Lieutenant Michael Davidson's children and his wife by donating to the Silver Shield Foundation. Now, this was a group that was launched in 1982 by a New York Yankees owner, George Steinbrenner, to aid families of NYPD officers and FDNY firefighters who lose their lives in the line of duty. The money goes to help pay for the education of the kids of firefighters and policemen killed in the line of duty. You can make a contribution at www.silvershieldfoundation.org/donate, or you can mail your contribution to Silver Shield Foundation, 870 UN Plaza, first floor, New York, New York, 10017. So that's a great cause that George Steinbrenner put together.
Yeah, and also Rusty Staub, former Met, very involved in the widows for firefighters and police. So a lot of good charities. But the information Michael just gave out, we're also going to put up on our website if you're interested at 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Now, Cardinal Dolan was at the wake, and Channel 7 caught up with him.
At a time like this, they say, what would you do without faith and family and friends? And they've got them in abundance. So thanks be to God.
Yeah, I mean, just the wake started yesterday, and it was really quite a turnout. This is Captain Jeff Sims, FDNY.
He learned, and he learned quickly, profound tragedy to lose him. He was well-loved and was very professional.
You know, we still don't know what caused the fire up there in Harlem. You know, it was on the set of a movie. We don't know this for a fact, but I've been on movie sets over the years, and a lot of electrical wiring. Those lights are really, really powerful. You know, there's potential there for sparks, short circuiting or something like that to cause the fire. And that fire really,
that
engulfed that building so quickly. I remember seeing the pictures on it the morning we came into work, and that building went up just like a tinderbox.
I heard one unconfirmed report that maybe there was a boiler, a faulty boiler involved, but this building was not in use. I mean, it was being used for the movie set.
As a backdrop.
But it was no longer a jazz pub.
Apparently it was a very famous jazz pub where people like Duke Ellington and Cab Calloway, all the greats played, and the bar, the basement bar where they would have played, the bar was actually still there. So there are remnants of the jazz club still in that building that is now up in smoke.
FDNY Chief Frank Donnelly.
This is a super dangerous job. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good the men supervising you are. Be ready, and Michael was certainly ready.
Wow. His dad was FDNY,
fire,
so is his brother. He's a long time, 15-year veteran, even though he's just 37 years old. And just the thought of living behind 7-year-old Brooke, 6-year-old Joseph, 3-year-old Emily, 1-year-old Amy.
They've released family photos.
They did.
Yeah.
And we'll have that on our site as well. FDNY released the photo. And it's just heartbreaking. And, you know, the work that these guys do, they're just, you know, they call them the bravest, and they are. I mean, they just are, and what they do for us, and just so tragic. It really is.
Michael Davidson, 37 years old, a nozzle man, went right into that fire on Friday and lost his life. And as we were saying, if you want to contribute to his kids' education fund, you can go to the Silver Shield Foundation, which was put together, launched by George Steinbrenner to aid the families of New York police officers and firefighters who lose their lives in the line of duty.
All right. Well, it's certainly a worthwhile cause, and if you can help, I know the family appreciates it. So the wake today, the funeral tomorrow, and we will be covering tomorrow's funeral here on 710 WOR. Alice Stockton Rossini will be outside St. Patrick's Cathedral for us tomorrow morning, and I just... the emotions will be, you know, very strong and powerful tomorrow.
No question about it.
All right, we're coming up on 9:30, which means a couple of things. It means the market has opened. We shall see what's doing, and it means it's time for Jeff McKinney, the news headlines. Good morning, Jeff.
And they're opening up.
The Dow, after a couple days of big, big losses on
trade
war
today.
What are you up to?
It's up 330 right now.
I have it up 390.
Wow. Well, you're ahead of me. I'm still at 330. Up 331 officially right now.
How come all my stocks are down?
It's the Stormy Fields bounce.
Daniels. The S&P is up 37.
I'm Scott Fields.
That is wild.
S&P is opening up 37. I don't have a number on the NASDAQ yet. So
that
we'll get that.
Wild. What, 398 it's opening up so high? For the Dow.
Yeah, but keep in mind, how much has it lost over the last couple of days?
Right. Was it 700?
Yeah. 700 points over the last couple of days.
A lot of the gains were wiped out.
And hey, we'll take it.
These are trade war fears. That's what was fueling that because...
That was so last week. You know, around this administration? Oh, come on. That
isn't that the truth?
It really
isn't
is.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, you could say, any afternoon, you could say that was so this morning.
Well, I mean, wasn't the big story about 2 minutes ago negotiations with North Korea? Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Now we're on to China now because it was the trade war with China. He's going to impose tariffs on China, and immediately everything nosedived. I still don't have a NASDAQ, but the Dow is up more than 300 points at the open.
Everybody watched the Stormy Daniels interview, and there was nothing there.
Well, it was fun, though. Stormy Daniels
while it lasted.
Opening up her one-night stand, opening up about
what?
Her.
What?
Opening up.
Hello?
She's doing it again.
You want to start this again?
What street corner is she opening her one-night stand on here in New York? Coming soon to a Broadway theater near you.
Stormy Daniels opening up her new one-night stand with President Trump tonight only on Broadway.
Now that would sell out.
I'm telling you, the producers of Chicago, they're going to get her to play Mama Morton in that show, and she'll sell out. I'm telling you.
But she's going to make some big dough out of this.
No, that's why she's doing it.
You're so cynical.
No. Well,
she's
no
doing
more,
God's work.
No
here.
More cynical than the Stormy one herself, because she admitted last night freely that she's making money on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thing.
Yeah, she's not bad.
She said, "Why would you turn it down? They're paying me much more to." She goes to strip clubs. They're paying her four times as much as she normally gets.
That's the way she phrased it too. She said, "Wouldn't you?" She said, "Wouldn't you take a lot more money to do what you're already doing?"
And would you? If I quadrupled your salary to read the news, would you do it or would you leave?
I'd wonder why you're doing that. I'd feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels is talking about what turns out to be, according to her, a one-night stand with President Trump back in 2006, telling 60 Minutes last night that Trump revealed that he and Melania are sleeping in separate bedrooms.
Mm.
And Trump had an interesting comment about his daughter, she says.
He's like, wow, you are special. You remind me of my daughter. You know, he's like, you're smart, beautiful, and a woman to be reckoned with.
A lot of people thought that sounded odd. Stormy also says she took a magazine with Trump's picture on the cover, and she spanked him with it while he was in his underwear.
Do we know what magazine that was? Was it Mad Magazine or Highlights?
I don't know.
I remember at the time they said, I don't know if it was Forbes. Was his picture on the cover of Forbes?
I don't know. Just because his picture's on the cover of a magazine doesn't mean that the magazine knows that his picture is on the cover. Because I think he has manufactured his own magazine, hasn't he? In the past?
Covers. He's manufactured some Time magazine covers and put them up around the club.
And Time didn't know that he had been on one of their covers.
Correct. Well, it was news to them.
But when they did find out that he had done this, I think they launched some sort of legal barrage causing him to take down.
I think they requested, not do that.
Parkland, Florida student offering a strong rebuke to former Senator Rick Santorum. Santorum says students should be taking CPR classes, not marching. Junior student Rebecca Schneid responding with you guys with Len and Michael this morning.
First of all, I don't think he understands the job of our legislator if he says that. Two, I don't think that CPR can take a bullet out of somebody's chest. And three, I just think it's the most idiotic statement for anybody to make, let alone a former senator.
Now, she's 16 years old, Jeff. Yeah. She's quite...
Well, she made the point. I don't think CPR is going to take a bullet out of somebody's chest. That would seem to be sort of after-the-fact treatment, rather than preventing the shooting in the first place. She says they're going to keep fighting until they get tougher gun control laws, and they haven't gotten anything yet, she says. Two people have been killed, three others injured, after a vehicle slammed into a crowd in Dutchess County. The circumstances aren't clear, but the pedestrians were on Route 52 near Old Glenham and Fishkill when they were struck. Two people were pronounced dead at the scene. Three others were taken to the hospital. Their conditions not known. And finally, could the Giants be ready to cut ties with star wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr.?
Wow.
Owner John Mara says he's tired of answering questions about Beckham's behavior. He's also disappointed with a recent video showing Beckham with a model, a pizza. So far, we're okay. But what if...
Well, there was more, right?
Was there pepperoni on
but
that
wait,
pizza?
Wait, there's more.
Well, there's more, and what appear to be drugs.
Oh.
That would be the part that's troublesome, I think. The model and the pizza, I think, are standard NFL issue. Mara says he's not looking to trade Beckham, but says no one is untouchable, and they have to seriously consider whether they want to make a long-term commitment.
What kind of drugs?
I don't know.
Well, also, I like John Mara a lot, but that's part negotiating ploy, too. I mean,
sure.
They've got to sit down and work out a contract with him, so why not say, you know,
well, they want
no
to
one's
say,
expendable.
Right.
No matter how expendable.
No matter how good you are, we might move you.
Very
but he
good.
Is really something, though, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, he's a great player, but he's been injured. The Dow is now up 413 points, Mr.
Ooh.
McKinney. Not bad.
I'm a little worried about my app.
Okay.
Because I was behind you.
Yeah. Well, if you're behind me, then you should be worried.
Wait, let me see.
You should.
Okay. What are you showing real fast here?
Lens. My Dow is showing 409.
So am I. Okay. My NASDAQ is 136.
I don't have the others. I just have Dow. I don't have the others.
Lens still has most of his investments in Kodak stock.
You blue chipper, you. Yeah. There are a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys who know these things say the S&P is actually the most important.
They do say that, but my GE, which of course I'm saddled with because of NBC, they used to own NBC. Yeah. Oh, Dow's up 409. GE's up a big 8 cents. So that's how great my stock is.
How's your Polaroid stock doing there, Len?
But the S&P is up 41 right now.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Appreciate it. Catch you tomorrow. Coming up next, do you know we're getting even fatter as a country?
What?
How many pounds Americans have packed on in the last decade? That's coming up next. Plus, another chance at $1,000 coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. It's time for traffic now. Here's Bernie Viter.
Beetle in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good Monday morning to everybody. It's coming up at 9:44. Hey, got to send some birthday wishes out today, Len, to one of my favorite singers of all time. Diana Ross turns 74 today.
Wow.
I mean, does it get much better than Diana Ross and the Supremes?
She was great.
I hear a symphony. I also liked her solo career. I saw her perform a couple times in upstate New York and Rochester, New York. I love Touch Me in the Morning and the theme from Mahogany. And, of course, the great anthem of all time, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, that Diana made famous, and it was written by Valerie Simpson and her late husband Nick Ashford. And I've got news for you, Len. Valerie Simpson is going to be a guest on the show tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. So she's scheduled to be with us, Valerie Simpson, and she wrote this. Diana Ross story is she turned 74 today.
Yep.
Love that. My story is she performed at Super Bowl 30.
Oh, famously. She came in the helicopter.
Helicopter, and she left in the helicopter. I took the red eye home with some friends and my wife, and she was in first with us. And she spent the whole night on a red eye up tending to her children. Great mom.
Yeah, and her daughter's quite well known now too. Her daughter's on a popular TV show, was a good comedian. So I'm a big Diana Ross fan, and Valerie Simpson she's going to be on tomorrow because she's going into Chicago. She's going to play Mama Morton on Broadway. I think she may be in it now. In fact, she is in it now.
You be good to Mama. Mama be good to you.
You be good to Mama. Mama's good to you.
That was Queen Latifah in the movie.
Queen Latifah in the movie.
So Valerie Simpson's playing that part.
Yeah, I'll boost you up your ladder, kid, and you boost me up yours. So Valerie is making her Broadway debut. Great songwriter with her late husband, Nick Ashford. She wrote Ain't No Mountain High Enough and also Solid as a Rock, another song I really like.
Another big song.
She's terrific, yeah. So Valerie Simpson will scheduled to be our guest tomorrow.
How about fat people? You want to talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, American adults just keep getting fatter. We're in Humpty Dumpty land here in America. American adults, according to this report, continue to put on the pounds, Len. New data shows that nearly 40% of them were obese in 2015 and 2016, a sharp increase from a decade later.
So you know how they
what's the definition of obesity?
Well, if you I don't know how you figure this out, if your body mass index is 30 or more, you're obese, and those with a BMI of 40 or more are severely obese. But I don't really know how to figure out your BMI, but I don't know.
Where does Trump fall on the scale, do you think?
Well, they said because of his height and weight, he was 1 pound short. But
of obesity?
Well, no, that's true. Really? He was 239 pounds, and I think they fudged that number just so he would. Seriously, he was the right height at 1 pound shy. And so I think that.
Well, he's got the obesity diet, though.
Oh, for sure.
You know, with the McDonald's hamburgers and the French fries and all that sort of stuff. So, and the golfing is just not going to take care of it. So, also speaking of eating too much, so restaurants, Len, are making big bucks off people who now aren't eating a thing. Restaurants now are working out a deal with computer companies to get apps where you can actually leave your bags at a restaurant at Penn Station, maybe, and they'll charge you for it, but you can leave the bags there if you're just in town for the day and you don't want to schlep them all around.
Oh, really?
You can leave them there. And also, I think they may want to charge for using the restroom.
Really?
You know, cause, well, sometimes, you know, I mean, I dart in every now and then when...
So you're a master at that.
Well, no, I go in and I pretend to be looking for someone at the bar, so I scout it out and I say, oh, and then when I run back to use the restroom, and then I pretend to take a phone call, so I just sort of walk outside and say, oh, I can't hear, it's too noisy in here.
You're
so that's
big phony,
that's
you.
How I get in to use it. So, wait till you see our next story. A teen fails his road test in spectacular fashion. He did not pass, believe you me. Bless your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 10:05. Live on 710 WOR. And now, Bernie Bider with
WOR.
As we're coming up on 9:54 on a Monday morning, that means 6 minutes until Mark Simone at the top of the hour.
Mr. New York.
It's coming up, so I've got a question for you, sir.
Yes?
How do you think the ratings were last night on 60 Minutes?
I would imagine that they probably busted the clock. They were through the roof, I would think, because there was such a build-up to it. It was a nothing interview, but it was a build-up to it.
Highest ratings for 60 Minutes in a decade. 10 solid years.
Wow.
Highest ratings. How's that?
Do you know what the last story was that hit the top there?
I think there was a Mike Wallace striptease.
No, the one I like was the best 60 Minutes story, though, of all time was when, this was years ago now, but it changed the way we think about alcohol, when Morley Safer went to France and talked about how drinking moderately a glass or two of red wine improves your health.
Wow.
Cholesterol's down, blood pressure's down. Remember, Morley was wandering around the vines in Bordeaux, drinking a lot of red wine, having a jolly old time. I thought, that's the kind of job I want in life.
I remember Mike Wallace doing Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yes, yes.
And he said, sir, something to the effect, sir, some people call you a lunatic. Their words, not mine.
I'm thinking that the overtime of the Kentucky Duke game
Kansas
probably got real. Oh, I'm sorry, Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas City, darling.
Pretty
Kansas City.
That's right, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Got pretty good
City.
Ratings, too, last night, because everybody tuned in thinking Stormy was on.
They had a good lead-in. Absolutely.
They had a great lead-in. That had something to do with it. Remember that when he said lunatic? Not my words, sir.
I do remember
that. I love
that. You don't remember Morley Safer, though, doing the wine tour of France?
I don't.
Changed the way we thought really? About drinking.
Yeah. I just remember the Charles Carrault.
I love Charles. Yeah.
He went on the road?
Yeah, yeah, on the
and
road.
We never knew at the time until years later. He was on the road because he had another family out there. He had a babe on the road.
He was a
no
babe.
One knew.
I think he had two families.
He did.
He was always. That's
yeah,
right.
Of course, that's why he was on the road. He had a babe. All right. We're going to call this the dopey section because this is our picture of the day, if not the month or year. A teenager, a young lady, was taking her driver's test in Minnesota, a place called Buffalo, Minnesota, and she smashed right car right through a building. Boom! Right. That's not a good sight.
No, I don't think she got her license.
I don't think so either. She meant to put the car in reverse, went zooming forward, lurched forward. Police said sent the car over. It struck the building, and the building is the building that housed the exam station for the test for the car.
And the driver's ed instructor, a 60-year-old woman, was taken to the hospital for treatment of non-threatening life injuries. So that is good that nobody was hurt. But yeah, that she's gonna have to take her test again. I think
no charges pending. The other bit of good news for her. Hey, what about this dope? You hear stories like this all the time. This is the dopiest thing.
I don't get it.
This
I don't
Kim
get
Kardashian
it.
Thing.
Yeah.
There's a woman in Brazil. She has spent $500,000 on plastic surgery so she can look like Kim Kardashian West. Jennifer Pamplona. Wow. Really?
You know, if you look at the picture of her, though, it's not so much that she looks like Kim Kardashian with all the surgery. She looks like that alien, the creature out of Avatar.
Well,
if she were blue, If you colored her blue, she looks like the female creature in Avatar, don't you
now,
think?
Now, I thought she did a pretty good job. Well, the plastic surgeons did a pretty good job.
Is she trying to recreate that famous nude photo of Kim Kardashian? So the shot from the back here, they show her, she has a huge butt.
Yes. Yeah,
so that obviously that's what's done it. But she actually, her face doesn't exactly look like Kim Kardashian, but it looks
her
like
body
body
does,
shape.
Though. Her body so shape her, does.
So she's spending plastic surgery on her butt to have Kim Kardashian's butt?
I don't know why anyone would want to do that.
She's got the Avatar face.
But I'll post this because I think everyone really needs to see.
Yeah.
Take a look at this naked Kim Kardashian lookalike. $500,000 she spent. You can check it out on our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Now, there was a story floating around that we ran out of time the other day. What was the bungee story, Michael?
Oh, yeah, this guy, I think it was in South America. This guy takes his 2-year-old daughter bungee jumping with him. Ooh. And apparently she's not even wearing, first of all, he shouldn't be doing it at all, but she's not even wearing a crash helmet. And he's like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go. He leaps off a bridge with a bungee and is holding on to his daughter. She's strapped to him. And people were furious on Twitter about this guy. Crazy taking your 2-year-old daughter to do some bungee jumping. But, you know, he said, oh, well, she loved it. She had a great time.
No, she didn't.
He said when they were done, she wanted to do it again, Dad.
I watched that video. It's on
our
website.
She looks terrified, doesn't she?
He's holding her and he's patting her on the back like you would when your child is upset. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Pat, pat, pat,
yeah,
pat, pat.
And now we're going to fall off a bridge.
We're jumping backwards off the bridge.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And to round out this little segment, did you hear about this guy in Long Island, Godwin Boateng?
No.
He slammed his BMW on his thumb, his $70,000 dream car, and it chopped off his thumb. So he says, I carried my thumb to the hospital, and they said, what happened to you? I said, my car door. I'm holding my thumb. So sometimes he wears one of those $3 magician's kit fake thumbs in its place.
Oh, there's got to be something better than that.
So I think there's going to be a lawsuit. They're calling the BMW X5's door nothing short of a guillotine.
Okay. And by the way, Portuguese Airways has apologized to a bunch of people in Stuttgart, Germany. The flight couldn't take off because the co-pilot was intoxicated. There's your dumbest person of the week.
Well, coming up next, Mark Simone, your next chance is $1,000. Coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. So long. We'll see you tomorrow, Michael. See you then. Happy 74th birthday to the one and only Diana Ross.